Chol Hamoed. Someone asked me a very interesting shaila. This happened. A person mitzvah Shabbos. He made Havdalah. He took out his Koishul Yayin and he made Havdalah. And he thought the Havdalah you make from going from Yom Tif into Chol Hamoed is the bracha should conclude Hamavdil bin Kodesh le Kodesh. Just like what you say at the Seder. This year at the Seder. This year the Seder, a Kiddush. So we have an insert. The insert was Miyoyim Hivdalta, Vikidashta, Mishesha, Simei. I don't remember the whole Nusach. You know the Nusach. You know better than me. The Nusach that you say at Kiddush whenever you're going from Shabbos, Yakne Bahas. When you're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov, you start from Mavdil bin Kodesh Lechol, Ben Ola Choshech, Ben Yisholah, Ben Miyoyim Ashvil, Sheisha, Simei Amase. V'yesyoy mashvi hivdalta, hivdalta v'kidashta. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. Baruch ato Hashem, hamavdil bein kodesh l'kodesh. Okay, so this is what the person read. He took out the cup of wine, he had a wife, maybe he had some more people there, and he took out the kiddush from the Seder, and he said, Bor pri agafen, and he said that nusach. Shaila, ziyotzei the mitzvah, ziyotzei havdalah. So I did not know the answer. I called up a Pesach, and he said that he doesn't know the answer. And he checked into it, and he came out of Maskan that it's a very, very big machlokes, what to do. And the bottom line is, yoyotzei b'diavad. And I thought it was a very big chiddush, because generally in the laws of brachas, whenever you make a bracha and you make a mistake, the most important thing is that you should conclude correctly. Even if you mess up big time in the bracha, as long as the gemara of the bracha is correct, that is okay. Yet, in this case, the rabbi said that he checked into it, and there are different opinions. B'diavad, yoyotzei, when you make havdalah, mitzoy, yomtif, going into chol hamoed, if you make the bracha hamavdil bein kodesh l'kodesh, b'diavad, you are yoyotzei. So, question is why? Why are you yoyotzei? If generally the rule of thumb is the ikur chelik of the bracha is the gemar. In other words, if the person would have started off and he would have said hamavdil bein kodesh l'kodesh, bein yisrael amin, bein yom hashvil shesh simei amase v'chul v'chul baruch ato Hashem mavdil bein kodesh l'chol, if he would have made a mistake in the beginning of the bracha, but he would have concluded correctly, for sure you yoytzei. For sure, because that's a general rule. The general rule is that if you make a mistake, like I'll give you an example, let's say Al HaMechia. And you start off and you say, Yeit Mizoyas. And instead of saying, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Chayim Elech Olam, you say, oh, Mr. Ms. Gladys, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. We're learning about Chol HaMoed today. We're learning some Yom Chol HaMoed. If a person will make a Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Chayim Elech Olam, and let's say you're supposed to make Al HaMechia, and instead you make Al HaGefen. And you make a mistake in the beginning of the bracha. As long as the conclusion of the bracha is correct, everything is forgiven. Everything is good. So if a person who makes havdalah, and if he would make a mistake, and he would say Baruch Atah Hashem Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Kodesh, as long as he would conclude correctly, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol, for sure you yoytze. But in this case, this shaila that is a real shaila that happened this year, the person concluded, he started off, Baruch Atah Hashem kinim l'cholam, Hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol, Ben Yisrael lo amin, Ben Yom Hashvi lo sheish mei amase, and he went on and he said that whole nusach that we say kiddush, and he concluded Baruch Atah Hashem Hamavdil bein kodesh le kodesh. So, after some research, halacha is you do not repeat the bracha; you are yoytzei b'di'evet. Why? Because Chol Hamoed also has kedusha; it's also kodesh. It's not totally something which is mundane. And I think this halacha really speaks volumes. This halacha really opens up a whole deep understanding that with Chol HaMoed, it's a very complicated zman. Is it kodesh? Is it not kodesh? What is the status? the Ikra Din, a person is allowed to do Malacha only for, the Ikra Din, a person is not allowed to do Malacha. Only if it's Dover HaAved, then you're allowed to do Malacha. But if it's not a Dover HaAved, you're not allowed to do Malacha. And even when a person does Malacha, because he needs to do Malacha, he should do it in a way that's not a Maiser Uman. He should do the Malacha in a way that is sloppy. All right, then all the Gedarim, there are a lot of halachas, which unfortunately I'm not knowledgeable in all the halachas, but there are many, many halachas, sort of general concepts. Now, I saw over here, when I'm preparing from, something very interesting to explain what exactly is the root of the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed. So someone wants to suggest Chol HaMoed's Kedusha really comes from the fact that it is sandwiched in between two days of Kedusha. And I think this is going to be a very, very big naftimina between the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot and the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Let's give an example. Let's talk about Sivan, Chodesh Sivan. In Chodesh Sivan, we don't say Tachlin. We don't say Tachlin on the first day of Chodesh Sivan because it's Rosh Chodesh. We don't say Tachnun on, Vav Sivan is Shavuos. Before Vav Shavuos, we have already the Shloishes Yimei Hagbolah. So that's 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, 5 are the Shloishes Yimei Hagbolah, the days of preparation. So there's no Tachnun. Day number one, you don't make Havdalah on day, because it's Rosh Chodesh. The second day, what about the second day? Three, four, five. So what about the second, right? What about the second day? The day before, day number two, we don't say Tachlin. Why not? So it's called Yom HaMeyuchos, a day of Yichos. That's what it's called. Again, we have the first 6 days of Chodesh Siva. Starting day six is Shavuos. Day 3, 4, and 5 are the Shloishes Yimei Hagbolah. Day number one is Rosh Chodesh. So there should be, theoretically, one day before Yom Tov that we say Tachlin. Day number two. Yet the halacha is we don't say Tachlin on day number two. Why not? Because day number two is called the Yom HaMeyuchos. What does it mean, Yom HaMeyuchos? What does that mean, the Yom HaMeyuchos? So there are many interpretations. Some say because it's on this day, day number two, that Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, V'atem tihinu li mamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh. Hashem said that Hashem was miyaches Klal Yisrael as a goy kodosh. There are other reasons, I don't remember all the reasons, but one of the popular reasons which is very relevant to Chol HaMoed is that day number two is surrounded, it's sandwiched by days that we do not say Tachnun. On Rosh Chodesh we do not say Tachnun, and day three we don't say Tachnun. Whenever you are found in a sandwich, you're surrounded, that affects you. It's like Oy L'Rosha, Oy L'Shcheinoy, and Toiv L'Tzadik and Toiv L'Shcheinoy. If you are in an environment of being surrounded by Kedusha, then what's in between gets squashed, gets overwhelmed, is also going to be Kedusha. That is exactly what Chol HaMoed is about. The fact is that on day one, it's a Moed, and on day seven, it's a Moed. Therefore, the 5 days in between are sandwiched. It's one holiday. It's one holiday. The Torah says, Shivas Yomim, 7 days. Can't deny that it's not a seven-day holiday. And therefore, if on the first day, on the seventh day, there's Kedusha, automatically in the center, there's going to be an effect. Now, that effect is not total to make those days into Yom Tov, but it makes those days into special days with a special Kedusha that has been affected, which also have Kedusha. And what is the Kedusha? The Kedusha is, you're not allowed to go to work unless it's a Dover HaAved. And even when you need to do malacha, you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed anything that you need to do in order to prepare for the Yom Tov itself. You need food, of course, food anyway you can make on Yom Tov. But things, the certain types of food preparation that you would not ordinarily be allowed to do on Yom Tov itself, you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, or anything that you need for the Moed itself is permitted, provided that you do not do it in a professional way. There's a halacha that lechatchila a person should eat. You should eat well. Okay, obviously you have to watch your weight and all that, we all know that. But there is a halacha that the eating and the drinking on Chol HaMoed have to be different. Has to be an upgrade to what a person would ordinarily eat. Something different, something unique, because of the kedusha of the Moed. Where does, now, this is all based on the psukim, this machlokes between Rashi and Rishonim. If the kedusha of Chol HaMoed is deraisa, is it midrabanan? Everyone agrees that it's at least midrabanan, some hold it's even midraisa. There's a Gemara Moed Kon has a drasha. The drasha, Chag HaMatzah is Tishmar, from the word Tishmar. I don't remember all the details, but there's a drasha that we upgrade the Kedusha of the Moed is upgraded. But what's the time of the Krah? So it's a very beautiful idea, that if you are surrounded by Kedusha, that has a major effect on you. Now let me give you an example, which we discussed example a couple of times. That is a person allowed to talk after he makes a bracha? Let's say, for example, a person eats. A person sits down to eat, and you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam shehakol nidyah bidvarei. And you take a sip of coffee, a teeny little sip. Now, are you allowed to speak? Yeah, why not? A person speaks, he talks for 10 minutes, and then he goes back and he takes another sip of coffee. How is he allowed to take another sip of coffee? The second sip of coffee he's taking, there's a hefsek. The bracha he made 10 minutes ago, and now he's taking a sip of coffee. There's a hefsek. How is a person allowed to speak? So the answer obviously is, once you make the bracha, the only halacha that you're not allowed to speak is between the bracha and the beginning of the mitzvah. Once you did the beginning of the mitzvah, now there's no probe, now there's not a hefsek. You can speak, you can be mafsek, and then you can go back later to the mitzvah. For example, a person takes a lulav and esrog. Even when it comes to mitzvah of Nesher, so you make the Nesher, Kedushan, B'mitzvah, B'sivanu, al netilas lulav, and you shake the lulav right away. Then, the person speaks, does all different types of things, then it comes to Halel, Hoidu Lashem Kitov Ki Li'olam Chasto, On Hashem Oshiyana, you shake the lulav and the esrog. The shaking of the lulav and the esrog is connected back to the bracha of al netilas lulav. Oh, but you are mafsik. So you are mafsik. It's not the end of the world. As long as you started the mitzvah, you make a bracha, and you're not mafsik immediately, you immediately are mekayim the mitzvah to a degree, then there's no problem if you're mafsik and you mash them later on even more. Now, look at shofar. When you blow shofar, asher kedushan b'mitzvah yisvanu l'shmoya kol shofar. So the rabbi and shul will make an announcement that no one should be mafsik, not even with Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemoi, until the end of the last tekiah. Why is that necessary? Why is that true? As long as the tokeah, you make the bracha, and you make the bracha, right after make the bracha, you say you blow the shofar immediately. You make the bracha and you blow a tekiah. So there's no longer a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. So now you should be allowed to continue and make all the other tekiyos, even if you're mafsik between that tekiyah and all of the other tekiyos. So the truth is, many poskim say that's not true. And this, that we are not mafsik, the rabbi makes an announcement, don't be mafsik until the last tekiyah is blown, it's all one big mitzvah. It's a very big chumrah. It's a very challenging announcement to halachically validate that halacha. So next time you go to shul, the rabbi makes an announcement and says in Rosh Hashanah, no one should be mafsik from the time we make the bracha all the way until the end of Musaf, the last tekiah number 100. If I were you, I would stop the davening right there, and I would challenge the rabbi on the spot and say, Rabbi, how do you know that? Who told you that? It's not true. It's not true. Just like when you make a bracha shahakol niya bidvaro, you take a little sip of water and you put down the cup and you have a conversation and then you're allowed to go back to the cup of water and drink more water, even though you are mafsik, because and what you're drinking connects to the bracha you made 10 minutes ago, even though there was a hefsik, as long as there was no hefsik between the bracha and an immediate fulfillment of a part of the mitzvah. So when it comes to the blowing of the shofar, the truth is it's a very challenging chiddush for the rabbi to say that you're not allowed to be mafsik until the very, very end. It's all one big mitzvah. It's a tremendous chiddush to say that. It really is. And you have to really, it's a chumrah. You know, you make the bracha, you don't want to be mafsik. You want to go tell me it's a chumrah, you eat, and you shouldn't be mafsik the entire meal. You want to say such a thing? You want to be mechalik between birchas hanenin and birchas hamitzvahs? When it comes to benefit, food, then you can be mafsik. When it comes to a mitzvah, you can't be mafsik. It's not so soft, pashat. I'll give you another example, wearing tefillin. Every single moment you wear tefillin, you're mekayim a mitzvah. People would wear tefillin the entire day, for long periods of time. When do they make the bracha? They make the bracha once. They make the bracha in the morning, they put on the bracha, and that's it. They put on the bracha. If they take, let's say, for example, a person goes to the Beis HaKiseh, okay, for Kitanim, not for Gedolim. Gedolim is different. For Kitanim, he takes off his tefillin. He goes to the Beis HaKiseh. He comes back very quickly, When he puts his tefillin back on, does he make a bracha? No. Oh, but you are mafsik. It's okay. When you're wearing the tefillin now, it connects to the bracha that you made earlier in the day, even though you were mafsik. If the hefsik is a very big hefsik, a massive hefsik, that you call a hesek hadas, that's already a different story. But a short hefsik is not considered to be a problem. Now let's go to another example. Now let's go to the exception to this rule. The exception to this rule is when you do a mitzvah and you have a bracha in the beginning and a bracha at the end. And the best example is Kriyas HaTorah. When a person gets an aliyah, he makes a bracha in the beginning, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol HaAmim, and he makes the bracha at the end, Asher Nosan Lanu Torah Semes, V'chayi Olam Utah V'sachin, Bracha to Hashem Nosein HaTorah. A bracha in the beginning and a bracha at the end. So here, the halacha is, you're not allowed to be mafsik. Even if the Baal Kriya already read three psukim, he already read, you know, even three psukim, even one pasuk. You ordinarily you can argue that once you already leaned, once you have already made a bracha, you know, so the bracha is no longer a hefsik. And now, what's the big deal if you're mafsik? That's the very big issue in Shavuos. On Shavuos, we do hakdamas. So what do we do? We make the bracha, asher bracha, and then we don't do this. Today the minhag is we make hakdamas before you make the bracha. But it used to be, and maybe there are some communities that still do this, where the oile makes the bracha, the kohen makes the bracha, asher bracha, what do we call him? And then the Baal Kriya reads one or two psukim, bedafka two psukim, and then akdamus milin v'sharayusa. How could you do that? You're being mafsik. After you're going to finish Akdamas, the Baal Kriya is going to go back and continue laning. Oh, isn't that a hefsik? The answer is no. You made the bracha. You immediately tasted from the mitzvah. So now, whatever you do is not called a hefsik. That's not considered to be... That's not considered a hefsik. Because you already tasted. Once you tasted, now you can talk in the middle. So the problem though is, so we don't do that. Halacha l'maaseh, we do not do that. We're very, very mak when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. And the reason why we're very, very mak when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah is because there is a bracha in the beginning and a bracha at the end. Anytime you have a mitzvah where Chazal instituted a beginning and an end, it's not open-ended. It's not. There's no loose There's nothing loose. And if there's nothing loose, then everything in the middle is sandwiched, and then you're not allowed to be mafsik. Another example is, it's not a perfect example, but it's similar, Hallel. Hallel, you make a bracha in the beginning. Baruch atah Hashem, 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 and then you end off with Lefichach, not Lefichach, I'm sorry, you end off with Yehallelucha, Hashem, Lekeinu, Kol Masecha, Rechulu, Rechulu, Baruch atah Hashem, Melech, Mehulol, Batesh Bochos. So you make a bracha at the end. If you're making a bracha in the beginning, a bracha at the end, so therefore there's a hakpada, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle. Anytime you have this principle, you have to have other examples. I can't think of any other examples now. Maybe it'll come to me, the other examples. When you have a bracha in the beginning, a bracha at the end, you're not allowed to be mafsik. It's interesting, tefillin, I told you about tefillin, you know, you're hefsik. It used to be in the olden days, people would make a bracha. The Gemara brings down this opinion, we don't do it today. When you take off your tefillin, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvoseinu V'tzivanu, L'shmor Chukecha. A bracha is made when you take off your tefillin. You could argue that if you were to make a bracha when you take off your tefillin, then the entire time that you're wearing the tefillin is a time that becomes sacred. Anytime you have a situation where something is sandwiched with a beginning and an end, it creates a vacuum which has a different status. So 99.9% of the mitzvahs that we do not have an end bracha, especially when it comes to mitzvahs. You do a mitzvah, you make a bracha, whatever, you take a little of an eshrog, there's no end bracha. You take a shofar, there's no end bracha. You put on tzitzis, there's no end bracha. If it would be that tefillin has an end bracha, then you're sandwiching what's in between. Kriyas HaTorah has a beginning bracha and an end bracha. Therefore, it's sacred. What's in between, you're not allowed to be mafsik. The Haftorah has a bracha in the beginning and four brachas / five at the end. So you're not allowed to be mafsik. Not five, four at the end, four at the end. You're not allowed to be mafsik. So that's, now then you can argue, this is where it gets very tricky. An end bracha, when you make an end bracha, is the end bracha considered to be a sandwich, or it's something completely separate? Classic example, you have no choice but to say this is true, is benching. And a bracha acharon. Before you eat, you make a shahakal on the yebe, and then after you finish eating, when you finish eating, you make birchas hamazon. Are you going to say that because the process of eating is sandwiched, okay, pun intended, is sandwiched between a bracha rishayna and a bracha acharayna, then everything that you do in the middle, you're not allowed to be mafsik? So that obviously is not true. There's no one says you're not allowed to be mafsik. So we have to understand why that's not true. Why indeed is that true? Why indeed is it that when it comes to eating, the bracha acharoy, it's completely separate? And I guess the argument is that it's two different concepts. Before you eat the food, what you're doing is you're de-sanctifying it. Hashemayim, Shemayim, we learned this before, there's a steer in the Pesukim. One pasuk says that Hashemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, Yaretz, Nasan, Levnei, Adam. And Hashem gives you the food. And the other pasuk says, LaHashem, Ha'aretz, Umaloy. Everything belongs to Hashem. Contradiction. One pasuk says that it's Hashem's food. And the other pasuk says that it's on the earth, it's yours. So the Gemara says, Kan koidim ha'bracha, kan le'achar ha'bracha. You make a bracha, it changes its state from Hegdish to Chulin. When you make a bracha acharoina, it's a thank you. You're thanking Hashem for giving you the food. It's v'chalto v'savato v'rachta. They're two completely different concepts. They're not. It's not considered to be a sandwich. When you make a bracha on the Torah, That's like really the best example. Now, I'm sure there are other examples. I don't know, on top of my tongue, I don't have maybe halal to a degree. But when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, they're both focused on the same exact thing. Asher bochar banu, asher nosan lanu Torah semes. Okay, there are nuances of why you say this bracha before, why you say this after. You know, it's very interesting to prove the point. If a person gets an aliyah, this is the halacha, and he gets up to the Torah and he makes the wrong bracha, instead of saying asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim, he makes the bracha asher nosan lanu Torah semes v'chayolam notar b'suchim v'bracha to Hashem nosen ha'Torah. What's the halacha? Nothing. Let it go. Let it slide. And when you finish the aliyah, then you make the bracha asher bochar banu. The very fact that the two brachas can be interchanged, bidi evet, goes to show that they're part of a team. If a person would bench before he eats bread, you have in front of you a piece of bread, and a person doesn't know the halacha, so he wants to eat the piece of bread, and he recites the whole Birchas Hamazon. Is he allowed to eat the bread? Then someone walks in and says, what in the world are you doing? I want to eat bread. And before you eat the bread, you have to make a bracha. So I recited Birchas Hamazon for the bracha Rishoyna, all four blessings. So you tell the guy, you know, go back to first grade. Before you eat bread, you don't bench. You don't recite Birchas Hamazon. Before you eat bread, you make one bracha, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So what is the halacha? Make the bracha. I don't care you benched. Your benching was a bracha levatola. And now you make again, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Eat the bread, and now bench all over again. They're not interchangeable. If by mistake a person would reverse the Birchas Hamazon with the Bracha Rishoyna, he is not Yotze the Mitzvah. But Birchas HaTorah, the halacha is, if a person makes a mistake, and he gets an aliyah, and the Gabbai is not paying attention, and he makes the wrong Bracha, let it go. The Baal Kriya lanes, and when the aliyah is over, the person who got the aliyah, he makes the other Bracha. So if he made, by mistake, the bracha asher nosan lanu Torah semes before the aliyah, then when the aliyah is over, he makes the bracha asher bochar banu. What do you see from that? Is that the two blessings on the Torah are part of a team. One is said before, one is said after, but the fact is they're a team. The haraya, if you reverse them, it's okay. B'diyavet. But Birchas Hamazon, they're not a team. They're completely two different concepts. Two completely different concepts. One is a bracha rishoyna, it serves its function, and one serves a different function. Okay, so we elaborated a lot upon this concept, that the reason why Chol HaMoed has sanctity, its sanctity is derived from the fact that these are days that are sandwiched between 2 days of holiness, the first day and the last day. Pesach, we have the first day of Pesach, and we have the seventh day of Pesach. These 2 days are part of a team, and they sandwich what is in the center. Now here comes the Chiddush. There's a difference, though, according to what we just said, between the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos and the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Because Sukkos, the eighth day, is not really a sandwich. Why not? Because two reasons. First of all, the eighth day is Yakne Bahas. It's a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai, Pazer Koshev. Pazer Koshev, it is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai. In many regards, to many dimensions, Shemini Atzeres has nothing to do with Sukkos. Shemini Atzeres is a completely separate Yom Tov. It's not a sandwich. You have a Shachyonu on Shemini Atzeres, and on Shemini Atzeres, you have a different name. You don't, in the Nusach HaTfila, we don't call it Sukkos, we call it Yom Shmini Chag V'Atzeres Hazeh. And there are no mitzvahs. You do not sit in the sukkah. You do not take lulav and esrog. It has its own set of korbanos. It's completely its own world. So you can't go say that it's part of a sandwich, that the days in between are part of a sandwich. Because like, well, you're going to go say every day of the year. Every day of the year is a holy day because it's sandwiched between Rosh Hashanah of this year and Rosh Hashanah of last year. You can't say that. I mean, there's a degree of how far you can say the sandwich goes. We said, the example we said in the beginning was we have the second day of Chodesh Sivan is Yom HaMiyuchas. Why is it called Yom HaMiyuchas? It's sandwiched between the first day and the third day. The first day is Rosh Chodesh. The third day is the beginning of the Shloshim HaGmola. So day number two has Kedusha because it's in a sandwich. But you know, you can't go say the whole year is holy because the whole year is in between this year's Rosh Hashanah and last year's Rosh Hashanah. There's a cutoff point. So too, the first day Sukkot and the last day and Shmini Atzeres are not related to a degree. Therefore, the days in between, the 7 days in between, are not sandwiched. They're not part of that sandwich. Another reason is Shmini Atzeres is day eight. And again, how long can you say you're part of a sandwich? If you want to say within the 7 days, that's a nice amount of time. It's a week. The world was created in 7 days. Once you're already going into day eight, you're already leaving the stratosphere. You're too far away to say that Sukkot is the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot is sandwiched in between. It's too far. You're deviating too much. So now, but on the other hand, you can't say that it's not a sandwich, because Shmini Atzeres is still called Shemini. It's the eighth. So this is something, and Bidi Eved, if a person does say on Shemini Atzeres, Yom Chag HaSukkot Sazeh, Bidi Eved, you Yoytzei. So we all know this is a very big dilemma when it comes to Shemini Atzeres. Is Shemini Atzeres a continuation of Sukkot, or is Shemini Atzeres, is it completely, completely separate Yomtiv? Obviously, it's in between. Another example, it says, V'hoyisa Ach Sameach. Ach Sameach basically means that we continue the simcha of the first 7 days extends into day eight. Okay, we learn it's not that the Torah never gave Shmini Atzeres simcha by itself. The simcha of Shmini Atzeres is an extension of the simcha of the first 7 days of the holiday. So there, in other words, there's a conflict. There are conflicting signals given in Chazal, in the Torah, as to the nature of Shemini Atzeres. Is Shemini Atzeres a completely independent holiday, or is it a continuation of the previous holiday? We have conflicting signals. A little yeah, a little no. What is the nafkamina? What will be the major difference between if it's a sandwich or it's not a sandwich? The nafkamina is Chol HaMoed. In order for Chol HaMoed to get sanctity, it needs to be locked in. It needs to be sandwiched between the beginning and the end. Pesach, the Chol HaMoed of Pesach, in this degree, in this regard, is much more potent than the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. Because the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, the sandwich element, is weak. Because the last day, which we need to close it, to lock it up, we need that to lock it up, is much weaker on Sukkot than it is on Pesach. Pesach, Vayoyim HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, Uvayoyim HaShavim Mikra Kodesh, Kamulach Eloi Sasu. It's very simple. There's a holiday on day number one, a holiday at the end. The first day was Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Shvi was Kriyas Yamsuf. It was one process. So it's locked in. The 6 days in between are really, for the 5 days in between,
They're very, very strongly protected. They're fortified. It's one holiday, day one and day seven. It was a process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We left Egypt on day number one, and we came to the Yam on day number seven. It's Shvi Shel Pesach, we say the Shira. It's one holiday with a very strong start, a very strong end, and therefore we have created a structure, beginning and an end. Whatever is in the center is influenced by the Haschola and the Gemara. Whereas Sukkos, it's weaker. Because on Sukkos, it's true, there's day one, and there is day eight. But day eight, Chazal downplay the significance of day eight relating to day, the first 7 days. It's, yeah, it is. Ach Sameach, it's day eight, which means that it was until now we had seven. And if you by mistake you go and you say, but yet it's not. It's a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai Pazer Kashev. It's like attempting to say that the whole year is a big Chol HaMoed because it's sandwiched between this year Rosh Hashanah and last year Rosh Hashanah. Can't say that. It's weaker. There's a weakness in the Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, what is the major nafka mina between Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Chol HaMoed Pesach? What is the major nafkamina? How many Sifrei Torah do you take out of the Aron? I mean, that's how it comes out. I mean, but the question is, does it have its own Korban Musaf? On Pesach, we need to take out two Sifrei Torah because the Musaf is the same. And we don't have a unique carbon musaf every single day, that weakens, that's a weakness. Sukkos, every single day of Chol HaMoed is unique with regard to the carbon musaf. We are poiches v'holech. We're memayit. We start off with a 13 parim. And the second day there are 12 parim, and then we go down to 11, 10, 9, 8, down to 7. Every day it's poiches v'holech to be meramis on the umay soilam that they will continuously diminish until they cease to exist. Poiches v'holech. So each day has a unique carbon which gives each day Chol HaMoed a chashivos of the day itself, not that it's sandwiched between the beginning and the end. Okay, so we have over here, we're trying to create over here a complex portrait of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, mitzad echad, it's chol. You're allowed to do malacha. Only place where it says don't do malacha is on the first day and the seventh day, the first day and the eighth day. Chol HaMoed doesn't say you can't do malacha. And yet, it's a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov, either Midrabanan, some say Midaraisa. It's a Yom Tov. And the question is, where does the Yom Tov, where does it get its Kedusha from? Where is Chol HaMoed deriving its Kedusha? So he presented over here a very big difference between Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Chol HaMoed Sukkos, it has an advantage that every single day has a unique Korban Musaf. And that's why we only take out one Sefer Torah in Chol HaMoed, and we do not take out two Sefer Torah, because the Chol HaMoed has its own carbon. It's unique. That it gives it a certain chashivas. And in fact, that's one of the very big differences between what you say on this year we don't have a Shabbos Chol HaMoed. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed, when you lay the Haftorah, in the bracha, do you say "Uviyoyim Chag Hasukos Hazeh Uviyom Chag Hamatzos Hazeh"? Let me get a sitting to make sure I'm saying this correctly. I'm almost certain that on Sukkos and Shabbos Chol HaMoed you say "Uviyoyim Chag Hasukos Hazeh." Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach this year you don't have it. You don't say that. Okay, over here, taking out the nusach of the Siddur. Okay, Musaf l'Shabbos in the Kriyas HaTorah in the regular Siddur. When you're laying on Yom Tov in the Haftorah, Al HaTorah v'Al HaVodah v'Al Yom. You start off with Yom Chag HaSukkos Hazeh, but when you conclude Baruch Ata Hashem B'Kadesh, wait, let me read you the instructions. I need to say it correctly. Okay, the instructions: Yom Tov Shachal Yibimei B'Nechol, Yom Tov V'Avka Shachal B'Shabbos, V'Shabbos Chol Amoed Sukkos Mamshich Kan. Like I said, only on Chol HaMoed Sukkos in the Haftorah do you mention Zmanim. It's an amazing thing. Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yishol V'HaZmanim. I mean, this speaks volumes. This speaks volumes about the difference between Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Pesach, but really is illustrated to a very, very large degree is the Haftorah on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. The difference between the Haftorah Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, when you make the brachos are ordinary brachos, no different than a regular Shabbos. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, then when you make the brachos for the Haftorah, it's the brachos of Yom Tov. You have to add in B'yom Chag HaSukkos Hazeh and B'Kadesh HaShabbos V'Yishol V'HaZemanim. Why? Because of the Korban Musaf. The Korban Musaf of Chol HaMoed every single day is unique. And that gives each day of Chol HaMoed a Kedusha that is unique. A unique Kedusha. So in this regard, the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos is much more powerful than the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. But Mitzad Sheni, the Chol HaMoed of Pesach is much more powerful than the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, because the Chol HaMoed of Pesach is sandwiched between Kedusha in the beginning and Kedusha at the end. It's one holiday, which begins with Yitzias Mitzrayim, ends with Kriyas Yamsuf, and the fact that there's a sandwich creates an intensity in the center. Mitzad Sheni, on the other hand, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you don't have that sandwich. You don't have that sandwich. They're completely separate. Not completely separate, but the Shmini Atzer is a Yom Tov b'fnei atzma. So the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, the first day is a Yom Tov, the other days are not a Yom Tov, and it's open-ended. So you have this dichotomy, this two different dimensions of looking at Chol HaMoed. Now, there's a very interesting drush. I always like to come back to this drush, so I always try to fit this in. And that is when it comes to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, give me one second. Okay, the Mishkan was covered by Urias. And the Urias had how many sections? One section had five parts, and one section had six parts. And this was called the Ohel Moed. Okay, the different layers. Let's see over here. You see over here? I'll show you the Mishkan. There's a picture. You have the Mishkan over here. You see the Mishkan over here. It shows you here 11. You see, they can even count you. Hakisui Ha'emtsoi. And if you see on the screen, and the Chumash, Hakisui Ha'emtsoi of the Mishkan. And there are 11 parts. one section was 5, 1 to 5, and the other part there was 6. Right? This was the middle covering of the Mishkan. The Mishkan had 4 coverings, really. See here, they show you the picture of the covering of the Mishkan. Here's the Mishkan. And in this picture, they show you over here the 4 coverings of the Mishkan. The bottom, the middle covering, the bottom covering had 5 and 5, but the middle covering had 6 and 5. And the middle covering is called the Ohel Moed. The covering, the tent of the Moed. Isn't it interesting? The word Moed we call Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed. And there are 6 parts. So I want to suggest to you, as a Jewish, that the part that has 6, this is Chol HaMoed of Sukkos. Sukkos, there are 6 days Chol HaMoed. Hoshana Rabbah is also Chol HaMoed. In the Torah, there's the first day Yom Tov, and then there are 6 days Chol HaMoed. And then on day 8, is Shemini Atzeres. What's the 5 section? The 5 parts, that's the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Because Pesach is a 7-day holiday. There's a day in the beginning, a day at the end, and in between there are 5 days. So there are 2 Chol HaMoeds. This is the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. The middle cover, the bottom is called the Mishkan. The lower covering, the first covering is called the Mishkan. The second covering is called the Ohel Moed. And the third covering is called, the Oiris, the height, the Oiris Eilin Me'odamim. But the middle covering is called the Ohel Moed. And the Ohel Moed has a total of 11, 6, and 5. The 6 corresponds to the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, and the 5 correspond to Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Now here's what's interesting. Where did they meet? When they covered the Mishkan, these 2 sections, each of the 6 was stitched together, and the 5 was stitched together. And then the 5 and the 6 were connected by loops. They were connected by crossing. Copper loops. Crossing. And we connected the 5 and the 6. Where exactly did they meet? So it's fascinating. You know where they met? They met right on top of the wall that separated Bein HaKodesh LeKodesh HaKodoshim. When you took the 5 and the 6 and you spread it out on top of the Mishkan, it comes out the 5, let me just make sure, Kisei HaMitzoyah LeMishkan HaYosu MaMachzeshah Yiriyosh Nehmu, let's see over here. Hayriyos nispazhu b'shtei machbaros achas shol chamesh yiriyos shemidos ha'yosu 20 al 30. Machbaros nischabu al yidei hachamishim karetzim nechoyeshes ha'yitam b'lulos shebisuzos ha'machbaros. The 6 was primarily upon the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and the 5 were primarily upon the Kodesh, because the 6, the Mishkan was open in the front, and in the back the Mishkan, these sections, they went over the back wall all the way down to the ground, and it dragged a little bit on the ground. So the part that had 6 sections was basically on top and sheltering the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and the section that had 5 was primarily covering the Kodesh. So if you take this drush to a further degree, in the Mishkan, which one was holier? Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Because Chol HaMoed Sukkos had 6, and it was in the section of the Mishkan of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Chol HaMoed Pesach was less holy. It was over the section of the Heichal, which is only called Kodesh. The Kodesh is Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim. Where did they meet? They met over the Mechitza, exactly over the wall that was Mavdil, Bein HaKodesh LeKodesh. That's how we started today. We started to have a person by mistake, he makes a bracha on Cholomo and he says, Baruch HaTashem, HaMavdil, Bein Kodesh LeKodesh. It was Mavdil, V'hoya Pereches Lechem, Bein HaKodesh LeKodesh HaKodashim. It's amazing that these two sections, they met over that wall that's separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The two different sections of the Urias. And obviously the Torah is coming to Paskin that the Kedusha that stems from the fact that you have a unique Korban gives it more Hashivos. It was over the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The part that had less, that did not have its own korban, but Kedusha was derived because it was in a good environment, it was sandwiched between 1 and 7, that lesser Kedusha, that was over the Heichal, where the Menorah, the Shulchan was, and the Mizbech HaZov. And where do they meet? They meet over that wall that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. And that means that when you look at Chol HaMoed, it's a different type of Chol HaMoed. The Chol HaMoed of Pesach is a Chol HaMoed of the Shulchan. You're in the environment. It's very interesting. You're in an environment of a Pesach, of the Shulchan, of the Menorah, of the Mizbeach HaZov. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you're in the environment of the Oron. The Oron and the Kruvim, and it's just different. You know, you have to think about what is the significance, and but they connect. They are the Karsei Zav which connect, and it's Mavdil Bein HaKodesh uBein HaKodesh HaKodashim. Okay, so this is some of the Inyanim of Chol HaMoed. Let me just give a quick look at something that I wanted to mention. Yeah, another thing I wanted to mention is wearing clothing. There's some halachic inyanim. Is there an inyan to wear nice clothing on Chol HaMoed? So it's not so pashut. Today, you see different people do different things. Some do, some don't. But one thing is certain. The reason why you would, let's talk about Yom Tov. Why on Yom Tov do you wear nice clothing? Why on Yom Tov do you eat good food? So the Pesach can say it's because the day is a holy day. And the holiness of the day is what requires you to respect it, to wear nice clothing and to eat. Chol HaMoed, it's not like that. Chol HaMoed, those who, you're supposed to eat good food, dress well, you're doing these things as a tool to make the day holy. It's a very different approach. I'll give you another example. I told you this before, is that what's the difference between Moshe and Aaron? Moshe took the Jews out of Egypt. Aaron, he took Egypt out of the Jews. A different role. Moshe, Aaron, they're shkulim hayu. The Chazal said they were equal. The Jews needed to leave Egypt. But just because they physically left Egypt, they were still Egyptians. Their minds and hearts were still Egyptians. They needed Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, to inject them with holiness in order to take Egypt out of the Jews. That's the difference between Chol HaMoed, and Yom Tov. Yom Tov, the day is holy. The day is holy, it demands you behave. And you eat good food, and you dress accordingly. Chol HaMoed, it's a holy day, but it's the other direction. You wear nice clothing, and you eat good food to make the day holy, to pump up the day in its holiness. Okay, that's a very interesting insight. What else did I want to say? One other thing I wanted to mention, we spent a lot of time on this, when we learned Targum. What is the translation of the word Moed? The Ohel Moed. So Rashi always learns Moed means a place of meeting, place to meet, place where you meet. V'noi adeti l'choshama, I will meet with you. We'll have a date, a play date. We'll meet. We're going to meet together. Vad. The Targum never translates the word moed to mean a meeting. The Targum always translates the word moed to mean temporary. Temporary. It was a temporary tent. It was only meant to last for the 40 years when they were in the desert. Once they get out of the desert, then it's no longer, then they're going to go into a permanent structure. Machlokes Rashi and the Targum. Does moed mean meeting, or does moed mean temporary? We have over here these days, chol hamoed. What does it mean? So according to Rashi, it means we're now in a time of being close to Hashem. There's a vat. There's a time of meeting. We are connected. We're in the glow of meeting. It's chol hamoed. It doesn't have the intensity of Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do malacha. You got to stay home. Today you can go to work. Technically, go to work. Today you can turn on the lights. You can go to great adventures. You can do whatever you want today. It's chol, but it's a chol of moment. You're still close to Hashem. Hashem is present. According to the Targum, that's not what it means. It's a whole different hashkafa of what it's about. It's a temporary degree of mundaneness. During the year, the choil, the mundane activities of our life are permanent. This is life. Go to work. Go out into the streets. You do your business. That's what I'm here for in this world. That's what life. Shabbos! Okay. Shabbos, enter the world of spirituality. But the 6 days of the week, you know, that's what we came here for. Hashem put us in the mundane world to sanctify it and make the best out of it. It's a chol of keva. It's the real deal. That's the way life is. These days, the chol is temporary. When you go about your activities this week, turn on the lights, you do this, you go to work, you do, many people, there's very little difference between chol hamoed and the regular people have to make a parnasa. You know, you go about your daily activities, but it's different. When you go through the experience of a high with your family at the Seder, and the last days, it's again another high. When you go to work these days and you engage in the mundane activities of life, it's not the same. You know that choil is only temporary. You know that there's a lot more out there. The world, the kedusha that is out there in your future and in it's dominant. And what you engage as choil, you don't take so seriously. It's just, nothing to get excited about. We're not going to be here in this world forever. We're not going to be in Golis forever. What goes on in America, who cares? This is not where we belong. This is not our home. What goes on, work, it's choil. It's temporary. We don't live forever. Golus is not forever. It's not where we belong anyway. We don't take it seriously. It's not keva. Because we are surrounded by a backdrop of Kodesh, of the first day Pesach, the last day Pesach, the first day Sukkot, the last day Sukkot. These middle days, even what we do as Chol, it's so much easier to recognize that chol is temporary. Zimna. It's only temporary, it's not permanent. This machloek is with Rashi and the Targum as to the meaning of the word moed. Does it mean a meeting, or does it mean temporary? Creates a very different hashkafic approach to appreciate what these days are all about. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, thank you very, very much for learning with me. It's very meaningful to me. Hope you got something out of this. Mirtshem, tomorrow we can do the same thing for anyone who wants. Extra credits. Tomorrow at 10:30 to 11:30 for 1 hour. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day. A good morning. Zay gesund. Zay gesund. Mr. Ms. Glatter, be well. I apologize. Who's MDCYFF? I apologize. I just forget. Oh, that's you. You're in two places at the same time? Yeah, I thought so. I know you're Moto E5 play, but you're also MDCYFF. Okay. Okay, be well. Mr. Ms. Glatter, Zay gesund. Take care, Mr. Friedman. Thanks for coming.